He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
What is on your mind? What's happening? And are you alive?
Yes, I am alive. I know I'm alive because I did deadlifts yesterday and I'm feeling it. But I'm feeling it in all the right places. So that's really good. I'm really happy about that.
You know, I was just proofreading Karen McCoy's new book, One Rep at a Time. It's really, really good. And she talks about one of the reasons why women use as an excuse, I guess, not to go to the gym is they're afraid of the soreness. They're afraid of feeling soreness. So you're not afraid of that, huh?
No, I mean, I don't want to be all crippled up. I mean, I have been, I mean, years and years and years ago, I mean, it was, I couldn't even sit on the toilet. I think we've all been there, done that. Or just going down the stairs was harder than going up. But I mean, I stretch after every set I do, and that really helps me. So, but no, I'm not scared of the soreness. At least I can feel where it worked. It's not pain. Pain and muscle soreness are different. I know this is because I worked my muscles and ripped them apart and they're going to grow. This isn't because I injured myself. Those are two different things.
Right. And I think that people don't understand the difference between the two, and they feel all achy and they feel their fibers have been damaged. They think that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand. Mm-hmm. Hence, again, once again, the essential requirement for education, DOMS, right? Delayed onset muscle soreness, mm-hmm. as opposed to an actual injury.
Mm-hmm. And then you feed that muscle and then you rest. That's when you grow. And, you know, you get the formula down and you got yourself a hot bod.
Well, that's what Karen was saying. She says it's a reminder, it's evidence that you have done something of value, which people misperceive as a non-value, right?
Right.
And then what you do is you adapt, you recover, you remodel. That's where the nutrition comes in and the rest, relaxation, all that stuff. And then you improve, you move forward, as opposed to the muscle slide, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We don't want to do that.
No. Good, good, good.
Because muscle is the health engine. And the more high quality muscle you have on your body, the stronger your immune system is going to be. And boy, are those words true. You lose muscle, you lose your health. So get to the gym and lift some, pump some iron, people.
Right on. And on that note, let's get into our first topic. What's cooking?
What's cooking? Well, seeing how we're into autumn now and the weather's a lot cooler, I've decided that I'm going to start to make more casseroles. And my next recipe is shepherd's pie. And we've all heard of shepherd's pie. It's a delicious comfort food and it's warming and filling and will leave you pleasantly satisfied on a cold winter's night. It's also really good for freezing and makes extra delicious leftovers. Now, shepherd's pie is an old English dish, traditionally made with lamb or mutton. And you know what a mutton is, Corey?
I think it's an old lamb. It's an old lady.
Yeah, exactly. So North Americans typically make shepherd's pie with beef, not with lamb or mutton. The English, Australians, and New Zealanders call the beef dish a cottage pie. So the shepherd's pie is made with lamb or mutton, and the cottage pie was made with beef. Shepherd's pie is essentially a casserole, and it's lined with cooked meat and vegetables and topped with mashed potatoes and baked. So I think everybody's experienced a shepherd's pie or cottage pie at least once in their lifetime. Now the term, which this is kind of interesting. I did a little research on this, and sometimes you want to know where all these names come from. But the term cottage pie dates back to 1791 when the potato was introduced as an affordable edible crop to the poor. Cottage relates to the modest dwelling typically utilized by rural workers at the time. In early cookery books, shepherd's pie was simply leftover roasted meat of any kind added to a pie dish lined with mashed potatoes, and the mashed potatoes was also used as a decorative pie crust. You know, so pretty interesting, huh?
Sounds pretty good. You know, I just looked up lamb and mutton.
Mutton.
This is interesting. Lamb, mutton, and hogget are the meat of domestic sheep. The meat of a sheep in its first year is lamb. That of a juvenile sheep older than 1 year is hogget, and the meat of an adult sheep is mutton. So it doesn't talk about gender. So mutton is just, I guess, male, female.
Older.
Lamb.
Older than 2 years, right?
No, older than a year, that of a juvenile sheep older than 1 year is hogget, and the meat of an adult sheep. So I don't know, whenever a sheep becomes an adult, maybe a couple of years, we'd have to look that up. But that's very cool. So just let's understand the differences out there, people.
That's right. So when you prepare your original shepherd's pie, it really is super easy. You can make it with ground beef, or you can make it with leftover chopped roast beef. You can make it with ground turkey or leftover chopped turkey. You can make it with ground lamb or leftover chopped lamb, even lentils as a meat alternative. And they can range from spicy to crispy to cheesy. You can make it any way. Just get creative and do your own thing. Some people like to top it with buttery, cheesy mashed potatoes. I'm getting hungry. Or maple syrup yams or sweet potatoes. And that's what I do. I use the yams on top. The lean ground turkey with yams is my favorite, and it's a much lighter dish on our hips and thighs, of course, ladies. The original ingredients makes this dish delightful and personal. So why don't you just get creative and add your own favorite culinary surprises to this popular pie? And one of the beauties of it is it's gluten-free. I always have to add that. I think it's kind of interesting. So what I do is I just add a little coconut oil or olive oil to a pan, and then I add some onion and celery and carrots and crushed garlic, and I saute those, and then I add my ground meat, and then I add some tomatoes, a little filtered water, and then some frozen vegetables, whatever you like. Everybody likes something different. I add some crushed chilies. We like a little spice in ours. And I add some tamari sauce, wheat-free tamari, or some Bragg's aminos, a couple of tablespoons of poultry seasoning, and away you go. You've got your meat dish. Now let it saute for maybe about 5 or 10 minutes until everything's all cooked up. What you do is you put it into a nice rectangular pan. You want to make sure that there's not too much liquid, otherwise it won't set. Just a little bit of liquid. And you want to get maybe about 2 large yams, approximately maybe 12 cups, and mash those up, add your unsalted butter, add some maple syrup or honey if you like, and mash it all up and dollop it on top of the meat, and then use a fork and press it down with the fork so it's all even, and then use a little crisscross, and then add a little bit more butter, and then stick it in the oven for maybe about 20 minutes on about 400, just so the top gets a little bit crispy and the butter melts, and let it set after you've taken it out of the oven, maybe for a half an hour, and then you can slice it up into little squares, and it's just absolutely yummy, right?
Yeah. What did you use for the first one that you made, the batch? Was that turkey?
That was ground white meat and dark meat.
A combination
with yams
of ground
on top. Yeah.
White and dark turkey meat. That was really good.
The with first the yams time on I top, made it was a little watery, too much liquid in it. And so then I just drained the liquid out of the meat part of it. So, you know, I make it a few times to see how it goes. But the original one with the mashed potatoes and the cheese on top is really, really yummy. But
yeah, that is good winter food. It just, you know,
it's warming. It's just satisfying.
It's very heavy, but, you know, it's not so heavy that you are bogged down after you consume it. Yeah, I have smaller portions. I could see that you could really eat a lot of that stuff, and especially at nighttime. And just pack it in. So have a big salad first.
Yes.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
And then just expanding more on this definition of lamb, hogget, and mutton.
Yeah.
More information. A lamb is a young sheep under 12 months of age, which does not have any permanent incisor teeth.
Oh.
A hogget is a sheep of either sex having no more than 2 permanent incisors. And mutton is a female or ewe or castrated male, ouch, called a wether. These are sheep that have more than 2 permanent incisors. So I was trying to think of what makes the mutton a mutton. It has to do with evidence of its age. And it's based on the teeth, just like a kid. When a kid is growing, you know, their teeth fall out and they get their new teeth. You can tell how old the kid is.
Mm.
I mean, watched that Law and Order the other night, and they found out that girl who was pretending to be 16
was actually 20.
And the reason they found out, they did an x-ray on her jaw, and they found out that the wisdom teeth had been pulled out and had sealed over. So they knew that she couldn't be how old she was saying.
Yes, exactly.
So we're reminded of the significance of evidence, which I think is very cool.
Would that have anything to do with what the lamb ate if it doesn't have the teeth?
Well, obviously, if you didn't feed it anything versus a whole variety of different feed supplies.
Because a lamb would feed off the mother, right?
Yeah, they have a certain growth rate. Yeah. Like the animal itself is a mammal.
Yeah.
Would have a specific growth rate that's been mapped out and detailed. Yeah. And I'm sure that, well, I spent some time on a sheep farm in New Zealand, but you'd never know it.
Well, sometimes we forget these things, but that is a little interesting piece of trivia. So get down and get back up again and make yourself some shepherd's pie. And really, everybody loves it. I don't know anybody that doesn't like it. I mean, you use your favorite ingredients that you want. Get it creative. Do your own thing, right? If you want to use potatoes or sweet potatoes or yams, go ahead. Use meat, fish, chicken. I guess you can use fish if you wanted to. Sure, you can use
fish. Why not?
You can use lentils instead of meat if you want to go vegetarian. You know, the sky is the limit. Get creative in your cooking. All I do is I give you some ideas that I do and then just expand on it. And if you've got any better ideas, then bring them on down. Send me an email. Let me know. I'm always excited to hear new ideas.
Yeah. So is that it?
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more.
Good, good, good. Let's move on to our last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Mr. Siegfried Gersh, and he is a definite pioneer in the natural health industry and has a wealth of knowledge to share. He really, really does.
Well, look what he's done.
I know.
Look where he's been. Look where he's come from.
He's been there, done that.
There ain't nothing like the roots.
Yeah.
You know, as a pioneer, when mm-hmm. you see the transformation of a whole industry yeah. right before your eyes, it's like these old timers, like they're 90, and you talk to them about life before there was internet or TV or radio, and it must be amazing to see it all happen.
Well, he's got Alpha Health products now, and if you go on their website, alphahealth.com, I think that's what it is, or CA, I'm not sure, they have all types of apparatus that you can use, like grain mills. They've got wheatgrass juicers. They've got the best juicers, Vitamixers, just fantastic, all from Europe. And he's also the guy to talk to about coconut oil. And he gave me some fantastic insight on more ways to use coconut oil and different yeah. types of coconut oil. Because all coconut is not, coconut oil are
no,
not created
no, we,
equal.
We found out that there's actually a slave trade out there in the world behind the production of coconut, where we've got local native people being paid next to nothing, treated very poorly in these island chains out in the Pacific and in tropical areas that no one even knows about, and they're not getting a fair shake. So he actually went to the Solomon Islands and connected with somebody who does provide the natives and the local people with a reasonable relationship of production and distribution and profit and all the rest of it. So, and this is organic stuff. This is the real stuff. It's not processed. It's not heat treated. It's not extracted using solvents. Mm-hmm. So they just get those coconuts and press them locally and then ship them to Canada. And it's raw. I think that's the key.
Yes.
It's raw
yeah.
coconut. You can eat this stuff raw, put yeah. it on your skin, work it into your cooking.
Yeah. Put in your protein shakes. It's very, very healing. And a gal that I know was all freaked out about the saturated fat in coconut oil. Oh my gosh, I got to stay away from that because of heart disease.
Well, we need to study the differences in the fatty acid chains in the long, medium, and short chain fatty acids, and learn the difference between a saturated, monounsaturated, polyunsaturated. Find out what oils have essential fats, whether the non-essential fats in the oils are damaged, whether they're usable for athletes, mm-hmm. for very active mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. ghee, coconut oil, mm-hmm. even animal fats that have mm-hmm. saturated fats can be mm-hmm. very beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in an inactive person, and of course, the quality of the food and what's been done to the
yeah,
food,
yeah.
whether
it's not just the oil.
A McDonald's hamburger yeah. is not the same thing no. as eating antelope in Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both flesh of an animal.
People major on a minor, right?
Having a complete knowledge.
Oh, I can't have coconut oil. It's too much fat in it. Well, you know.
Well, saturated fat is
yes,
the focus.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
an avocado.
Yeah.
Avocados will reduce your cholesterol, not yeah. increase them. Same with coconut oil.
Yes.
But then see, how does that work with saturated fat? Because saturated fat in and of itself is not something that will cause an elevation of the cholesterol. If that was true, then all of the natives mm-hmm. everywhere on the planet who consume coconut and wild plants that have saturated fats as staples would have elevated cholesterol, and they don't. So there's a lot of different variables, obviously, involved in cholesterol chemistry.
You would know.
Most of which are based on modern day living, not on the way the natives consume their diets and live, etc. So that was cool.
That was
having
wonderful.
Siegfried as a guest, and also having him participate at our recent conference, which I think now would be a good time to look at our CHI Highway to Health update. What's going on there?
Well, we just finished up with our CHI conference and trade show, which was absolutely fantastic. It was intimate. It was personable. It was integrative. It was just a fantastic
energy. Energy there was excellent.
Yeah, it was a really nice
energy. It was a positive energy.
Energy,
lots of goodwill, lots of healing energy.
Yeah.
But it was an athletic energy.
Yes.
Right? It was lean people, happy people, people that are excited, they're athletic, they're working out, they want to learn how to get leaner, better, stronger, all
well,
that stuff.
Well, what's really interesting is a lot of our exhibitors, of course, for example, Trophic and Purica and even Alpha with the coconut oil, a lot of people don't see that as being an athletic food or supplements for athletes.
No, it has to be labeled or marketed that way.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't see its connection.
They just think, people think sports nutrition, muscle, protein powder, big muscle.
Bodybuilding.
I mean, it's like, hello, if you take a look at our courses and you look at me and Corey and what we do, we are like hippie bodybuilders. We do carrot juice and we grind our own flour and we go to the gym and get muscle. So, you know, it's just a whole gambit of everything.
We also meditate and do yoga and we stretch and there's a whole lot more.
We do a multitude of things.
You know what? It's a tree of healing. It's loaded with thousands of branches and they all ultimately are connected. It's like a web, right?
Yeah.
And you learn in life how to participate in that web of life, ultimately so that it doesn't hurt you, so that it helps you sustain life and survive and thrive, right?
Yeah. And Brad King was one of our speakers who is a totally, totally awesome speaker.
As usual, he was right on
his
game.
He's just right on the money. And Karen McCoy.
Our panel was great.
Yeah, she was there and she looks fantastic. And
Carolyn Mundell.
She told everybody, if you want to get small, lift big. Something like that.
Yeah, that was great. Andre Potvin was there too.
Andre was there. He's always got something to say.
So we had that question and answer period,
which was cool. And
Daryl Greenwood,
he's fantastic. Mr. Serious, Mr. Intense. And Carolyn Mundell, she had a few words to say as well. Everybody put their two bits in and it was just fantastic.
I liked how he answered that one question, Daryl. The girl said, well, how do you avoid taking on all this emotional crud from your clients when you're training them? And he said, just train them harder and they'll shut up.
And you know what?
That was great.
I've trained with Daryl. He was my personal trainer. And I'll tell you, he don't mess around. But he does. He's one of my favorite trainers ever.
Well,
I think he doesn't
have an understanding or any emotion. He does.
No,
but he says
awesome.
He's just into the work.
Yeah.
And
you then come here to train.
Right.
And you don't talk while you're training.
Right.
Because I was talking to him. He goes, no, put your mind into what you're doing and we'll talk about that after. Because I see a lot of personal trainers talking to their clients about what they ate for dinner last night and how their day was and where they're doing this weekend and what are they going to do on Thanksgiving while they're doing the exercise. And, you know, these people, we've been going to the same gym for almost 2 years now, and I don't see a darn bit of difference in these people. They're doing the same exercises, they're lifting the same amount of weight, and they have the same amount of body fat. They don't look any damn different.
Well, no. I think
like, what's
what
the deal?
Daryl's is intensity.
It's intensity.
Now, if you're sprinting as fast as you can, or like I was sprinting yesterday on a spinning bike, and when you're sprinting, you can't be thinking about what's bothering you.
Exactly.
You are just focusing on the fact that your legs are burning and screaming out for oxygen.
Exactly.
And then you're pushing forward against that emotional kind of physiological mental agony.
Yeah.
Because the body's saying stop. And so there's no worry. There's no fear about other things going on in life.
You don't care about what you're going to do for Thanksgiving. All you care about is surviving that workout. And I think that's what Karen's attitude is as well. Ladies, don't shy away from those heavy weights. Because if you want to get small, you got to lift big. I think that's the way she says it. So, and Jen, she looks hot. Like she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
and she does not look like a heavy duty hardcore bodybuilder. She looks gorgeous.
Yeah, you know, she has that femininity that I think that some people think you lose when you weight train, but she is disproving that theory.
No.
And then there's an excellent concept right there that all our panel members, you know, Carolyn and Andre and Daryl and Karen, who else? Carolyn, Daryl, Andre, and Karen.
Yeah,
Carolyn and Carol, I was getting mixed up. They all look good.
They all look
fantastic. They look great. They're all fit. They're all involved. They're all engaged. And this is the kind of leadership that we
need. They're all CSNA masters too. Hello.
Yeah. You know when I see politicians and the leadership of countries. I don't see anyone that's in dynamic shape or that ever talks about fitness and exercise and training as being essential and crucial. Mm-hmm. You never hear anything about it. Mm-hmm. And the people that interview them, the people that they talk to, the speeches they give, it's always about
money.
Money, economics, war, and differences that are...
No, all they're really doing is they're trying to get on for the next 4 years. It's all about their polls, and it's all about getting reelected. It's nothing... Really.
Well, they're not qualified to run the country. They're qualified to stay in power. That's what they're experts in.
Yeah.
In marketing and convincing people that they can do things that it's impossible to do.
Yeah.
How do you change a whole society as an individual? How do you do that without mm-hmm. the society wanting to change?
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's what came out at our conference. Yeah. How do you... That's what I talked about. Yeah. Consistency. Mm-hmm. It comes from the inside out. It's not about doing it because you have to do it, because that won't last. It's about really doing it because you want to do it. Right. And how do you want to do something that's good for you, that's essential to health and wellness? How do you want to do that? That's the secret. That's the magical state of mind.
Well, what's really cool is I've had a couple of clients. I was just talking to them again, and they're on the health thing now, the Holly way, and they fell off it. They just went to a barbecue or something and they ate potato chips or something like that. And all of a sudden they started to get heartburn. Both gals, I think it was potato chips or nacho chips. And they go, oh, I'm just starting to get this heartburn again, they said. And then they go, oh, I can't eat chips. And I said, there you go. So I'm glad you did that. You went off and then you went back on again. And then now you're off it. So, you know, like I always say to them, I say, I look at that beautiful Portuguese bun with all that salami and mayonnaise and cheese on it. And all I see is a cold sore and a hemorrhoid. And so I say, don't want to go there. I will abstain from that. Doesn't mean that it doesn't taste good. And it doesn't taste good going down. It's just coming out. It's the hardest part. So I choose not to eat that. So it's really good that people are starting to see. You have to see the evidence.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine came home last night. I was talking to her about, well, she was actually talking to me. She says, I feel like I got heartburn. I said, well, what did you eat or drink? And she talked about having some wine and some snacks. And I said, well, you got too much hydrogen. The concentration of hydrogen, that's how I sort of see it.
Yeah,
once
the
you
pH
know about
balance,
pH.
Yeah.
Right. So heartburn yeah. and acid reflux is just simply a buildup, an excess buildup of hydrogen atoms. On the periodic table, mm-hmm. hydrogen is the first element. It's the simple, most basic element. And then you learn about the sun and energy and light and the universe. Mm-hmm. It's all about hydrogen. Right. So this hydrogen plays a very important role yeah. in our health, and an excess amount of hydrogen. And then... She said, well, what can I take? And I said, well, you get some fresh juice, or you can dilute it with some water and hydrate, because, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution. So it's very interesting how many people out there actually have this symptom of excess acid.
Well, you know, if she had come to the lecture, I discussed that. I discussed pH.
Right.
And I talked about the recipe for health and the 10 different points that we work on. But I talked about things that I had learned. I mean, I'm not a doctor or a biochemist or anything like that. I just said things that really helped me in my life, and now I counsel people, was just about the pH, the potency of hydrogen.
I think this idea with thinking like a scientist, that yeah. you think in those terms, mm-hmm. you understand elements yeah. and pH, and it's yeah. not that complex.
It really makes a lot of sense.
Once you get a handle yeah. of it and how it works, and then begin to look and see things differently.
Yeah, and how it affects your life. And so that's all you can go by. Do you want to be sick? Maybe for a while, because you get to stay in bed and you don't have to go to work. That's a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden, it's not fun anymore. And you know what? When you're sick for a long time, you start to get depressed. And that's depression starts to kick in, because you just can't do anything. You don't feel good. You're missing out. You just don't damn well feel good. And then what happens? You go to the doctor, and what do? They give you some antidepressants, and the cycle goes on and on and on. You know, so you want to stay well. That's the number one thing. But we all fall ill. We're all human, right? Sometimes we need to detox, and that's okay.
Yeah. So let's talk about an instantaneous remedy for depression, which would be Camp Hawaii.
Ah, absolutely.
Is that not going to pull anybody out of the doldrum?
That certainly would.
And
you just made me feel better already.
See, start thinking about Hawaii, everyone yeah. out there. Just think about Hawaii, how beautiful it is. The land, the water, the trade winds. It's just paradise on earth. And we're so excited that Camp Hawaii now is a go. It is April the 12th to the 15th in Waikiki in Honolulu, in the same hotel we had it last time.
Waikiki
in 2010,
Sunset.
The Sunset. We've got a little meeting room there. We've got a kitchen outside, barbecue area. There's a pool. Almost every hotel has got that. But I'm excited about some of the hiking and the outdoor trips and physical events and training that we're going to do.
Yeah, and you can bring your family, and there'll be a lot of time for you to spend with your family, and we're going to do a lot of outdoor activities. So what you're going to do is you're going to get healthy on your trip, and that's going to be exciting because you don't have to go to Hawaii and just, you know, sit back and drink a bunch of alcohol and eat a bunch of crappy food and just go back home and then not feel good, because that's what happens when people take a holiday. So you're going to come and you're going to get revitalized. And mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, you're going to really, you know, get pumped up, because we had a very successful last year or 2 years ago, and we're going to do it all over again, but we're going to even do it bigger and better this time. We always do it bigger and better.
Well, we learned about a secondary trail at the Manoa Fall Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a kind of a short path. I think it's a 45-minute hike, something like that, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And what we found out later on at another time when we were living in Honolulu is that there's an extension that goes up the mountain.
Yeah.
And our plan is to take that and do a lunch up there and then do some lectures.
Oh, it was just beautiful. It was all this bamboo, and it was just gorgeous.
Some of the trees and the environment.
It was like it wasn't even
the bamboo
real.
Forest. Yeah. And then there were signs saying, you know, watch out for pigs, right? What are they called?
Wild boar.
Wild boar,
like,
that's
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not a snake, it's a wild boar.
Yeah, and you really feel like you're in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in the jungle, and yet it's so
safe.
And
you hear these birds, these tropical birds, sounds that you don't hear in Canada. I mean, there's birds. We hear birds in Canada or birds in the United States, but these are tropical birds. And so it's pretty exciting.
And I think, you know, it doesn't cost that much to go. You can look online and look at specials. Maybe if you can steal a week in April and come to the camp, our fee is $4.95 per person, and that's for 4 days. Lectures, outings, hikes, the whole deal. Then we're going to have a nice little luau and get together after, which is so much fun. And we're going to really enjoy the environment. But to actually come there and like the airline cost and the hotel, you can get packages.
And if you buy it early online, you can get some really good deals. Don't wait till the last minute, because they always jack up.
Yeah, I think you're looking at maybe, if you're a single person, a couple of thousand for the hotel, for the airline, depending upon where you're coming from, for the cost of the camp and food when you're there, and maybe anything else. A couple of $1,000
maybe
would easily
not even
do it.
That much.
If you get a family or if you get a group of people or you share accommodations, it goes down.
Yeah.
You know, so everyone out there, put your thinking caps on, figure out a way how to get to this camp, because it will be a life changer. It's a lot of fun, and you're going to take home from that new thoughts, new ideas, new motivational standards and strategies and ideas and themes and concepts. And you're going to meet some great people. And plus, you're in Hawaii. Hello. That's reason enough.
Exactly.
Right? I just love that place.
That sounds great. So another thing, Halloween is coming up, people, and just be careful about all those sweet treats that are coming. Don't let it be a trick. Don't let those sweets trick you. So make sure you build up your immune system, because of course, we don't eat the candies, but I mean, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult. There's candy all around, not to go and pick a little bit of it. So make sure you build up your immune system. Make sure you drink a lot of water. Make sure you take a lot of vitamin C. What we did with our kids was we would let them that night, they got to eat all they wanted, and then we threw it away, threw the rest of the candy away.
And yeah, and you don't negotiate any more than that, because they will continue to eat it for months on end.
Yeah.
And 25% of their intake of junk food is obtained in that one night.
And then what happens?
Per year.
What happens a week to 10 days later, after Halloween, is everybody gets sick.
Infected.
They get ear infections, they get flus, they get just watch.
Because it's a massive overload of candy.
Yeah.
And not just the sugar.
Yeah.
Chemicals, coloring agents, dyes.
Yeah.
And pharmaceutical drugs are hidden in that crap.
All kinds of stuff. So just be careful with the Halloween, but go out and have a good time.
Yeah. Because that is our month, isn't it?
It's my month.
I mean, this
that's
is our month.
Birthday.
October, man.
Yeah, that's
this
our
is
month.
It. This is the time to celebrate, people. So that's awesome. This has been SNU. And what is your final word?
My final word is by Anonymous. I'll bet living in a nudist colony takes all the fun out of Halloween.